morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga is Daf Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to start again today from Ravo, which is five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned with Zechon Ishmael Salos Lupin Zaltzman. We started the third parak of Chagiga yesterday, and in which we're making comparisons between Kodesh and Truma. By Kodesh, there are 11 chumras, 11 stringencies that we have by Kodesh that we do not have by Truma. The Mishnah went through all 11 of them, and right now we're going to be focusing and studying number one, mostly for the balance of today. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to look at the first chumra of the Mishnah, and that'll take us for most of today, basically to the end of today's daf. So let us review. In the first chumrah that exists by Kodesh that you don't have by Truma is that by Truma you could be mitabel kli b'soch kli. If I want to tovel kelim in the mikvah and I know I'm going to use the kelim for Truma, so I could put one kli inside of another kli and tovel both of them in the mikvah. But when it comes to Kodesh, I cannot do that. Example I gave yesterday is with the basket. You know, you tovel your forks and your knives and all your utensils in the basket. So you're going to put them in the basket. Put the basket in the water, and that's how we tovel. If you don't want to get your hands wet, so can you do that? So the Mishnah says, yeah, sure, you can do that. You can do it for Kodesh, but you can't. You can do it for Truma, but you can't do it for Kodesh. That's distinction number one, chiluk number one between Kodesh and Truma. And then there's another 10 after that. So why? There really are two questions: why can I do it for Truma, and why can't I do it for Kodesh? Right? And for whatever reason you're going to tell me that I can't do it for Kodesh, well then why can't I do it for Truma? And the reason why I can do it for Truma, so then why I can't do it for Kodesh, but okay, good. That's our question of the day. So let's just review yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was very short. Yesterday's daf gave us one explanation of the Mishnah, and that's provided by Rabbi Elah. Rabbi Elah is the first line of the Gemara on Chafaf Amud Aleph. So he writes, Mibnei Shekvedo Shokli Chotzeitz. Because of the weight of the kli. What's going to happen, says Rabbi Elah, is that when you put a kli inside of another kli and you dip the two of them in the mikvah, so there's weight and gravity and there's going to be surface contact between the two kalim, and therefore what it's going to prevent is the water from going into all sides of the kalim. The water will not be making contact with all surface area of the kalim, and therefore it's not going to be a good tefillah. It's what's called chatzitza. It's an interposition. Okay. So that's explanation number one. What's wrong with that explanation? Oh, not what's wrong with that explanation, but what's the glaring problem with that explanation? The glaring problem with that explanation is that there's another distinction in the Mishnah of between Truma and Kodesh, and that is knots. Knots, K-N-O-T-S. Well, if you're toveling something that has a knot in it, so for Truma you don't have to untie the knot, and for Kodesh you do have to untie the knot. Okay, and why? What's the difference? Well, because for Truma, we're not worried about Chatzitza. For Kodesh, we are worried about Chatzitza. And again, I know the same. It's going to be that same question again and again. Well, are we or are we not worried? Okay, so, and that's a basic question, and I'm ignoring it for now. And later on, the Gemara is going to ask a version of that question. But we have another case in the Mishnah, which is already based on the concept, on the principle of Chatzitza. Clearly, the issue over there is Chatzitza. So according to Rabbi Elah, I have now two cases in the Mishnah, two of the 11 cases in the Mishnah, where we're going to make a chumrah by Kodesh over Truma, and really both of them are rooted in the same concept of chatzitza. No, that doesn't make sense. Meaning, tell me the concept, and once I know the concept, so I know. When it comes to Truma, we're lenient when it comes to chatzitza. When it comes to Kodesh, we're machmer when it comes to chatzitza. So that was the Gemara's question that we asked on Rabbi Elah, and the Gemara gave an answer. And yesterday's daf, basically the entirety of yesterday's daf, so basically the daf said, okay, yesterday's daf said, no problem. Both are rooted in chatzitza, meaning we're going to defend Rabbi Elah, they're both rooted in chatzitza, but I wouldn't have necessarily concluded one case based on the other. Each case in and of itself will not establish enough of a precedent. When it comes to the case of the kli b'soch kli, so I can make the argument that there, not such a concern for chatzitza. Because when I put two kalim in the kli, we can easily envision in our head how the water is going to create separation between the two. Things get lighter in the water. So yeah, when it's out of the water, it's heavy, but when it gets into the water, it's lighter. And over there, I could be lenient when it comes to chatzitza. But when it comes to knots, one could easily argue that when I put the knot in the water, so the knot's going to expand, the knot's going to get tighter, and so therefore there'd be more of an issue of chatzitza. And the converse as well. In the case of the knots, again, the Gemara made an argument that it's less of a concern than that of the kli b'soch kli. So again, so the Gemara says that we could defend Rabbi Elah. really both of these differences are rooted in the concept of chatzitza, and fine, and so be it. That is all the opinion of Rabbi Yilah. That is one way to explain the Mishnah. Again, the first case of the Mishnah. Really, that's all we're doing today, is studying the first case of the Mishnah, the first distinction between Truma and Kodesh. And now we're going to go up to number two. In the Gemara, we're starting with the words Rava Amar. And this is now going to be a second possible explanation of the Mishnah in terms of why it is that by Kodesh, I cannot tovel Kli B'Soch Kli. So the Mishnah goes on, I'm sorry, the Gemara goes on to explain, Rava Amar, Midisefam, Mishim Chatzitza, Reish Allah, Mishim Chatzitza. So Rava says, look, Chatzitza is already brought up in the case of the knots and the untying of the knots. So that's covered already. So obviously the Reisha is not talking about a Chatzitza. Reisha Haina Taima. So what's the issue in terms of the Reisha? Gzera Shalo Yat Bel Machtim B'Tzinoris B'Kli She'en B'Piv Kishval Feres Hanod. So the concern is that when I tov a kli b'soch kli, I'm not worried about chatzitza. Maybe like the Gemara argued yesterday, things will separate once they get into the water. It's not a concern. But I'll tell you what the concern is. When I take one kli and put it inside of another kli, it could be that the opening of the larger kli is a very small opening. What the Gemara describes as kli she'en b'fiv, and the opening of the kli kishvo feris anod, the size of a shvo feris, some sort of pipe. Right, the of a node. We're actually going to give a quantity. We're going to give an actual measurement of what that is in just a moment. But basically, the principle over here, the concept over here is as follows. In order to create communication between one body of another water and another body of water, so there has to be an opening and basically communication. There has to be water being passed from one to the other. But not only there has to be an opening, but that opening has to have a shear. It has to have an amount, a requisite amount. And maybe the concern would be is that this particular, the larger kli, has a very small opening. If it has a very small opening, what am I putting inside? So the Gemara says, needles, small forks. Okay, we'll squeeze things inside. And people construct boats inside of a bottle. So, it, you know, you could do it. So needles and small forks. And what is happening now is that, yes, there's water going into the kli, but only through a very small opening, and that small opening is not providing ample room to give the halachic communication between the outside and the inside. Therefore, that which is inside the bottle is not considered connected to the mikvah. If it's not considered connected to the mikvah, so therefore it's not a tahara. Good. That's the concern. And kiddidnan, and we see the Mishnah now, see a lot of Mishnahs today from mikvos. Okay, not a lot, but we'll see a number of Mishnahs today. Kiddidnan, here's our first Mishnah from mikvos. Erev mikvaos, if I want to combine two mikvaos, kishvo feris anod, it has to be the size of this tube, which is ka'ovya'u kechalala, in thickness, how big does it have to be? How wide does it have to be? B'shtei etzbaos chozosim komam. So it has to be when I take two fingers, I can easily put two fingers in, take them out. Rashi over here gives a little more of a description in terms of how exactly I'm manipulating my two fingers. Rashi v'chalev av yavein beis etzbaos chozosim komam. She'adam yachol legago b'so chalalo beis etzbaos. A person can take his two fingers and basically turn them. L'chol tzad. Have Erev, Rashi writes, that's considered Erev. Now that's a fair communication between the two bodies of water, and the two bodies of water are now connected. Umat bilan af kelim, and in such a kli, you could be tovel even kelim. V'hai nami mishum chshashta madaraisehi. And you see how Rashi ended off? This is a chshashta madaraisehi. This is a biblical concern. Why did Rashi do that? Why did Rashi write that? Because you remember yesterday, we noted in a braisa in yesterday's daf, that basically you could take the Mishnah and you could divide it into two halves. Meaning that there are 11 chumras that we have of Kodesh over Truma, and even in that 11 we could divide it. You know, the Gemara yesterday divided it to 5 and 5, but that's because, according to Rabbi Yilah, there really are only 10 concepts in the Mishnah. But of the 10 concepts of the Mishnah, 5 of them are rooted in a Daraisa and 5 of them are rooted in a Darabanan. So we're learning now, we're still number 1. We're going to stay at number 1 for the rest of today. So in number 1, so what's the issue? It's a Daraisa issue. If the hole that is connecting the two bodies of water is not wide enough, there's no communication. If there's no communication, so that means then that the water inside of the larger kli is not mikvah water. That's a din Daraisa. You didn't talk about the mikvah. So good. So that's another explanation of our Mishnah. This is Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. Good. So now, basically, in summary, we have the first chumra of the Mishnah, that by truma I can tov a kli b'sof kli, by kodesh I cannot tov a kli b'sof kli, and we have now two explanations of the Mishnah. Number one is Rabbi Ilah. Rabbi Ilah says the issue is a chatzitza issue. We're afraid that there will not be a separation between the two kelim, and therefore pose a chatzitza, as water will not be going over the entire surface area of each kli. Or a second explanation of the Mishnah is Rava, and Rava's explanation of the Mishnah is that we're concerned that the mouth of the kli, of the larger kli, is really narrow, really small, not two fingers width, therefore not providing communication between the outer and the inner. Okay. Adkan, that is two explanations of the Mishnah. Gemara goes on to explain. We're on the very top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Savalaka Adam Rabbi Gamalam Rabba Baravoy Yudav Mala Shanukan. And in terms of the Mishnah, how is he learning the Mishnah? 11 cases in the Mishnah, not 10 cases in the Mishnah. Why 11? I'm sorry. Shesh Rishonos Bein L'Kodesh Bein L'Chun Shanasa Taras HaKodesh. When it comes to the first six apply to both Kodesh and Kodesh in training. Right? We've seen this concept already a number of times. Kodesh in training. That's my terminology. It just simply means that we're eating chulin, but we are going to behave as if the chulin that we're eating right now is Kodesh. It's training. We're going to the base to make this shortly. We got to know how it's going to be. So therefore, the best way to know is to practice. So we're practicing that everything's like Kodesh. So the first six chumras, I should say, would apply to both real Kodesh, actual Kodesh, and also those that, even for those things which we're going to pretend, we're going to behave as if it's Kodesh. Chulin shanasa al-taras ha-kodesh. Achronos, the last five, the Kodesh of Allah al-chulin, shanasa al-taras ha-kodesh. And when it comes to the last five are not rooted in the Araisa concepts. Therefore, these chumras are only limited to actual Kodesh, not Kodesh in training. Okay. Period. Adkan. So, good. So right now we have a basic difference between Rav Ilai and Rava, and that is a counting difference. How many different concepts are there in the Mishnah? According to Rav Ilai, there are 10 concepts in the Mishnah, because the first case of Kli B'Sof Kli and the kosher omakir and the tying and untying of knots are rooted in the same concept. So that really is 11 now reduced down to 10. There are 10 different concepts, as opposed to Rava, where there are actually 11 different concepts in the Mishnah. And the first case of Kli B'Sof Kli has nothing to do with Chatzitza. It has to do with the lack of communication between the outer and the inner. Good. Ma'ike bein de Rava le de Rabbi Ilah. So the Gemara says, okay, aside from the fact, that's important in and of itself, that there's a difference of how we're going to number the Mishnah. But also, is there a practical halachic difference between the two? The Gemara says, sure there is. Ike b'nayu. There's going to be a difference, and that is salva gargusne. Let's say the larger basket. And I was right. Let's say the larger basket is a basket. Okay, the larger kli is a basket. Or a gargusne. Okay, and Rashi cites a Gemara and a Avodah Zarah in terms of definition of a gargusne. But basically, they're both larger baskets. Shemil and kalim. Where I took the basket and I filled it with, by the way, I say basket, it's not like wicker, it's in other words, but it's a large kli, with a large opening. And I put another kli inside, and I tovel. So, lemandam mishum chatzitza, if your concern was Rav Ilah and the issue of chatzitza, so ika, so that's still going to be a concern, because it's a large basket, and of course there's communication between the outside and the inside, the opening is huge, but if your issue is chatzitza, it means the issue is still there. But Laman Damer Mishum Gzeres Shamayat B'Machtim B'Tzinaros B'Kli Chaim B'Thiv Kishvaveres Anod. But if your issue is like Rava, where the way you're understanding Kli B'Sof Kli is as a function of the lack of communication between outside water and inside water, Salva Gugusne Shem B'Thiv Kishvaveres Anod Leika. But in the case of a basket, so there's no problem of communication. Obviously, there's going to be communication between the outside and the inside, and therefore there'd be no problem. Period. Adkan, that takes us to the end of a very basic nafkamina. You can ask the question, I'll ask the question. Meaning, if this is all Xera de Rabbanan, which it is, so then why don't we just simply say lo plug? Why don't we just simply say that the Chachamim made Xera, and that's it, regardless of differences in cases, but once the Chachamim made Xera, that's it. And meanwhile, the Gemara says, well, if it's a Sal, if it's a Gogusni, well, then we don't have to worry about communication between inside water and outside water. Okay, you're right, you don't have to. But once the Chachamim make a Gzera, that's it, the Gzera should stand. Okay, You could ask that question, but the Gemara feels that this is a nafkamina, this is a practical difference. V'az the Rav l'tame, and now the Gemara points out the Rav is consistent with another statement that he made. The Amar Rav Asava Regusne Shemilam Kelim Behit Balam Torim. So if I have a basket and I fill it with kelim and I tovel the basket with the kelim in the mikvah, it's tahor. It's going to be a successful tefillah in the mikvah. The umikvah shechalku b'savrik agusni hatovasham lo atalo b'tefillah. Now, second point. Now, this is going to be a totally separate point, but we quote the statement to Rava. So therefore, we're going to look at both statements 1 and 2. But it's really statement number 1, which is consistent. Meaning, in statement number 1, if it's a basket, and obviously that's a huge opening, providing communication between the outside and inside water, so therefore there's not going to be a concern, and the tefillah would be a good tefillah. Okay, that was statement number 1. Good, and that's consistent. What's statement number 2? I have a mikvah, and I'm dividing the mikvah with a salar gargusni, with a basket. In other words, okay, it's a little bit hard to envision, but I have a mikvah that's, let's say, 40 saw, exactly 40 saw, which is the minimum requisite amount that you need for a kosher mikvah. And what do? I take a basket and I put it right down the center so that it is dividing, it's separating one side of the mikvah and the other side of the mikvah. Hatovel sham lo alta lo tefillah. Toveling in such a mikvah is not going to be a good tefillah. Now I'm going to read the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give an explanation, but then we're going to look at Rashi together, and we're going to get, hopefully, a better explanation. Not a better one, but...
Is that necessarily the first one?
Right. So we have more to do. Let's go first. I'm going to read the words of the Gemara, and then we're going to see Rashi inside. Because look, says the Gemara, ground is porous, and therefore, ubi'ina di'ika mem saba makom echad. And just one of the qualifications of a mikvah is that you need 40 saw, but on top of that, there has to be 40 saw in one location. Period. Okay. Huh? What? I was thinking that as well, but let's try to digest this. What the Gemara now is saying is as follows. The second statement to Rava, which again is incidental to our basic point, but it's here, so let's try to understand it. The second point of Rava is that if I have a mikvah with 40 saw and I put a basket in the center of the mikvah and it divides the right and the left, and let's just for the purpose, I know it's not the best visual, but let's just even assume that the basket is making a total separation between one side and the other side. And even though water is obviously flowing from one end to the other, the basket is porous and it's permeable, still it's not going to be a good tefillah. And why not? Well, the Gemara's argument is, well, the ground is porous, and yet, when you tovel in the mikvah, if the mikvah doesn't have 40 saw, it's not going to be good. So what exactly does this mean? So now let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi says, lo alta la tfila. Rashi writes, she'asen kebeis mikvahs. By taking the basket and putting it in the center of the mikvah and separating the two, you've essentially made two mikvahs. Vein shir lo bezev, lo bezev. And you don't have enough, a requisite amount on either side. Alfa pisha, mayim mechabrim, bein aver and etzarim. Even though between the wicker of the baskets water is flowing, ein zechibor, this is not considered a connection. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the next Rashi. Daha arakula mechalchala v'hamayim anovim kan b'ayim minahar gadol. Look, when I have river flowing, when I have water flowing through a river, so obviously, subterranean somewhere, it's connected to another water source. And meanwhile, lo chashvinan kimechubar. And even though it's connected through the pores of the ground, it's not considered a connection. Debeinan mem saw b'makomachar. I need 40 saw in one location. Interesting. So basically, the way Rashi's understand the Gemara is just like I can't view water in one location. Look, there is water in this one location connected to another water source, and the ground is providing ample communication. The ground does not provide ample communication. The ground separates. Similarly, says the Gemara, when I take a wicker basket and I'm putting it right in the middle of a mikvah, it also will be separating the two into two distinct locations. Okay. Right. Now, if there was a hole, right, I'm going to be in agreement with you. I don't know if you're right, but I feel you're right. And that is that if there's a hole, kishvel feres anod, so then that would provide the ample communication between the two, but I'm not sure. I myself am a little...
If there's one person already in mikvah,
and the second person walks into the mikvah, the first person is there, is not considered a separation that they give the second guy.
I mean, when we're talking, right, that's why the idea of a basket going in the mikvah, it's a much better visual if somehow the basket created a total separation between the two bodies. Meaning, if the basket's only going in the center,
but if somebody stands in the middle of the mikvah and
right,
the wall like this and blocks both walls,
I can't imagine. Meaning, I'm not issuing any type of declarative statement, but I can't imagine. Yes.
You see, one's a kohen, the person going in is not a
kohen. Okay, it could be the distinctions, right? I don't know. I'm here admitting I don't know. Well, one thing I'd like to say, however, on this Rashi, which is somebody asked me a question yesterday, I offered an answer. And the truth of the matter is that I wasn't right, but I wasn't wrong. I was somewhere in the middle between being right and wrong. Someone asked, I think, Hedy, you asked me yesterday, right? We discussed yesterday some of the basics of mikvahs, is that there are two different mikvahs, two different ways to tovel in water. One is what's called a mikvah, stationary water, and the other is called a mayan, which is natural spring water. And I'm going to give you credit, Hedy, for asking me the question, even if you didn't ask, it's okay, take credit. And that is, we know by a mikvah, so mikvah has to have 40 saw. I mean, that's clear. Right? We've seen that in the Gemara, that's basic. Does a ma'ayan need to have 40 saw? Does the natural spring water, does it need to have 40 saw? So yesterday, I think my answer was, and it was off the cuff, my answer was, sure it does.
No.
Okay, now... one second. I looked more into this daf. I got a little more information. I'm armed today with a little bit more information. So with the mayan, there's nowhere in the Mishnah where it says clearly that a mayan does or does not need to have 40 saw. So we don't have any evidence from the Mishnah itself whether the mayan needs to have a minimum shear of 40 saw. But however, we just saw Rashi together, and Rashi was pretty clear. Look at the Rashi that we just did together. Rashi says, Rashi over here is describing what? He's describing a river. And Rashi says, well, even though there may be some sort of subterranean connection between this water and another water, it separates the two. Therefore, lacking, what does Rashi say? Lacking 40 sa'ah. Read the Rashi again. So this water, which is Noveah. Noveah means flow. He's obviously describing a mayan. So v'hamayma novim kam be'ebayin minar gadol v'lo chashvinan kemechubar. And it's not considered connected to be'inam, emsa, b'malkom echad. You need 40 saw. So from this Rashi, it seems pretty clear that his position is that even for a mayan, you need 40 saw.
But is he looking at it as a mayan or is he looking at it as a mikvah?
No, I mean, if it's flowing, the only way to look at it is a mayan. Right, one of the basic rules about a mikvah is that mikvah has to be stationary water.
Right.
So the fact that he's describing it as noveah sounds like it's a mayan. You could make the argument. I hear it, but the word noveah usually refers to flow.
The context that you're talking about is a mikvah with.
I understand. That's what Rav is talking about, a mikvah. I understood. And Rashi over here, again, this is a focus over here is on Rashi. Rashi uses the word noveah. Sounds like it's talking about a mayan. So again, I researched a little bit. Rabbi Kornfeld in today's daf discusses it. Right? I always highly recommend him. He's but he brings down a major machlokas amongst the Rishonim whether or not Mayan requires 40 saw or does not require 40 saw. So one of the first sources, I mean, right now the only source that we're going to look at is that Rashi. Rashi says it does require 40 saw. Rishonim disagree with the Rashi. Rishonim quote this Rashi, disagree with the Rashi. Anyway, it's a machlokas. So what I didn't know yesterday is that it was a machlokas. Now at least today I know it's a machlokas, and I know now the Rashi.
Could it be a different person came in under the mayan?
I don't know.
You could make
such a distinction. I just don't know if it's valid, but you could certainly make that distinction.
You mean you could tovel kli in the mayan?
You could talk. Oh, for sure, you could talk about clean a mayan. That's not right. The question now becomes: does it need 40 saw?
Well,
and again,
man,
yeah. Okay.
The position of Rav is there's a certain inconsistency. Like when you put the keli inside the basket, you're saying since the basket has the pores,
It's not the pores of the basket. It's the opening of the mouth of the basket. In other words, I always get nervous when I take his cup. I tend to spill. So in other words, when you're taking the basket and you're putting inside it, it has nothing to do with the pores. It has to do with the fact of the opening. The water's going in through the opening on the top. Looks good. I like it. Okay.
Just making sure.
So the okay. Good, very good. The Hani Mile, the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara now. Now the Gemara says as follows. We're gonna throw in a qualifier, and that is as follows. Look, we just learned together that Kli B'Soch Kli is according to Rava, it's no good. Why? Because of the issue of Chatzitza. According to Rava, Kli B'Soch Kli is no good. Why? Because of the lack of communication. Hane Mile. But this is true. We're qualifying the Rava position. Hane Mile B'Kli Tar Ava B'Kli Tameh. The Gemara says that we are going to throw a qualifier, and that is as follows. If the outer Kli is Tameh, meaning not the basket in the mikvah, which doesn't require tefillah, but in other words, the kli, the outer kli that you're toveling happens to be itself tummy. So if that's what I'm putting into the mikvah, and I put the little kalim inside, migu de sakatula kulagufa de mana sakahu nami le kalim de isbe. We have a principle of migu. Migu comes up again and again throughout Shas. It's a concept where I have, since it's effective, it has an efficacious nature towards one, therefore it will be effective to the other. When I put my needles and my little forks inside of a big kli, so the and even if, this is a big chiddush, and even if the mouth, the opening is not big enough to create communication, but still, the water inside will serve as a tahara for the kalim inside. Why? Principle of Migu. Migu tells me that since the tefillah was good for the outer, therefore it's going to be good for the inner as well. Okay, it's an unbelievable concept, and over here, you understand that this concept is actually creating a tahara for a kli, which generally speaking wouldn't have served as a tahara without the Migu principle. Obviously the Migu principle, a very strong principle. Did not, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Kalim shemilim, kalim behit bilam. If I have a kli and I filled up other kalim in it, and I tovel, hare elu taharim, everything is tahor. V'im lo tovel, that's a strange language. The Gemara is going to clean that up in just a moment. And if I don't tovel, my mamarav, mashiu marav, kishofer sanod. So then there has to be communication, and the only way that there's going to be communication is if the mouth of the outer kli is the size of shofer sanod. My Kamar, the Gemara right away jumps on the Mishnah. Right, this Mishnah Mikvos, what do you mean? The im lo tavo. My Kamar, the im lo tavo. What is that language? Gemara goes on to explain. Hachi Kamar means as follows. The im eno tzarech lahat tvilo, if the outer kli doesn't need a tvila, oh, much better. So therefore the water inside is not going to be considered connected to the mikvah water unless the opening of the bottle is greater than the shofar sanod, which provides the communication between the inside and the outside, period. Okay, good. So this Hanimili is supported by a Mishnah Mikvos, but of course after we have a better understanding of the Mishnah Mikvos. Gemara goes on to say, "V'hadarava, we're on Chav Beis Manal, we're right halfway at the midway point in the Amud, first words on the line. V'hadarava udaravila tanahi." And the Gemara notes that this machlok is between Rav and Ravila, meaning what comes out now. The Gemara says the nafkamina, practical difference between them, is that according to Ravila, the entire issue is an issue of chatzitza. Chatzitza always exists, regardless of how wide the opening is of the outer kli. Meanwhile, Rava says that the issue is communication. That there, if the opening is not wide enough, so then there's no communication between the inner and the outer. Comes out, the Gemara pointed out earlier, that according to Rava, if it's a basket, so clearly that would work. And the Gemara points out, and meanwhile, according to Ravi Law, if it's a basket, it's still going to be a chatzitza issue. And the Gemara points out that this is a machlokas tanaim, the tanaim will enter a braisa, salve gargusni, shemilim kalim, I have a basket, and I fill it with kalim, vihit bilan, and I told it, ben lakodesh, ben latrumah taharin, whether it's kodesh, whether it's truma, it's tahor, abba shalom, er latrumah abba lakodesh. Yeah, it works for truma, but it doesn't work for kodesh. Why doesn't it work for kodesh? It's a basket, clearly the opening is wide. The answer is, according to Abba Shaul is learning the issue is chatzitza. And since the issue is chatzitza, so regardless of how wide the opening is, the fact that the two kalim are touching one another, not providing the water to come in and hit all surface area, is going to be the issue.
Who's it, Tanakama? It doesn't mention the name.
It doesn't. Tanakama is a chachamim.
Chachamim.
Yeah. Okay. So, ihachi. Okay, period. Good. So, again, very straightforward daf in terms of organization. We have now the first chum of our Mishnah, and that is that in of the 11 or 10 cases in the Mishnah, the first one is that I can't, for Kodesh, I can't Tovel Kli B'Sol Kli. Why not? Two reasons provided in the Gemara, one of Rav Ilah and the other Rava. Rav Ilah says Chatzitza. Rava says is there's no communication. The problem is that the opening of the outer one may not be as wide as the Shofaris Hanod, and so therefore the water inside is not connected to the mikvah. So there are two explanations. Nafkamina, practical difference, would be a basket. What if I toveled Kalim inside of a basket? If your issue is Chatzitza, it's still going to be an issue. If your issue is Kishfaferes Anod, it's no longer going to be an issue. Ad Khan, that is really the summary of the Gemara from the Mishnah to this very point in time. And now finally, we get to ask the question which has been bothering us since the Mishnah. Right? Ben and I went over this yesterday. By the way, for those listening at home, there are two Bens in the room. So it's not me referring to myself as self-reference. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Trumanami. The Gemara says, okay, now we finally get to ask the question. If your issue is Chatzitza, if your issue is Kishfaferes Anod, that's an issue. Those are, as the Gemara itself pointed out, those are the Oraisa concepts, which would invalidate the Tefillah. So if we're worried about it regarding Kodesh, then why aren't we worried about it regarding Truma? Gemara answers, Ihachi Trumanami Laman Karminan. So the Gemara says, well, look, who's our audience? Right? Who's listening right now to the Daf? Who's interested in any of this? Chaverim. So the Gemara says, learned individuals. So Chaverim Ediyade. So, well, look, you're right. Is there a Chatzitza problem? Sure there's a Chatzitza problem. But I'm toveling in the mikvah. I will look and I will identify. Were the kelim touching one another? Or was the kli floating inside the other kli? If it was floating, no Chatzitza issue. I will identify the mouth of the opening. Is it a Shvaferes Anod? Is it less than Shvaferes Anod? Good. So these gzeras for Truma we're not worried about because people know. So the Gemara says that doesn't answer the question. Ihachi Kodesh Nami. So the Gemara says, okay, but then if the audience of this Mishnah is Chaverim, and they understand the concepts of Chatzitza and the concepts of Shvaferes Anod, so isn't that the same audience for Kodesh? So the Gemara says, Chazel Amar Zvazel Matbil. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look, you go to the mikvah, right, to the Kela mikvah, and you tovel, and you're doing Kli B'Sol Kli, and right behind you is an Amaretz. He doesn't understand the concepts of Chatzitza and the concept of Shofaris Anod, so he'll imitate you, but he won't be sensitive to these concerns. So the Gemara says, Trumanami Chazilei. So Chazilei Amaretz, V'Azel Matbilei. So the Gemara says, well, Truma, same issue, right? If I'm toveling Kalim for Truma, shouldn't I be worried about the Amaretz who's right behind me in line? And he's going to watch me tovel, and he's going to do the same thing, and he's not going to be sensitive to these concepts? So lo mikablina minayu. So the Gemara gives an answer, rough answer, and the Gemara says, well, look, for Truma, an Amaretz comes over and says, oh, you know what? You want to eat Truma? Here, borrow my Kalim. No, thank you. All right, let's be courteous. Right? No, thank you. I'm not going to borrow your kelim. So the Gemara says, and so therefore, look, the Amaretz can tovel in his keli any which way he wants, and he's not sensitive to these issues because he's an Amaretz. The Gemara says, so what? You're not going to borrow the kelim from him. So the Gemara says, Kodesh Nami Lo Nikba Minayu. So the Gemara says, well, can't you make the same argument for Kodesh? Look, for Kodesh, the Chaverim are going to be sensitive to these issues. The Amaretz is not going to be sensitive to the issue. And then why can't we just simply say from the Amaretz, look, I brought my own kelim, thank you very much. I appreciate the offer, I'm good. So the Gemara says, Havilei Eva. So the Gemara says, no. Because if by Kodesh we make such a segregation between the Chaverim and the Amaretz, that'll create animosity. And the Gemara says, no to animosity. So the Gemara says, Trumanami. So, okay, so if we're worried about Eva, which is always a very legitimate and genuine concern, which comes out throughout the Gemara again and again, so the Gemara says, by Truma also. So the Gemara says, Havilei Eva. So, I'm sorry, Trumanami Havilei Eva. Lo ichbat le da'azo yavle lekolin ama'aretz chavrei. So the Gemara says, now, when it comes to Truma, we're worried less about Eva. Why? Because in the world of Kohanim, you know what's coming. So in the world of Kohanim, we worry less about Eva. There's a group of Kohanim who are scrupulous and understand the halachas and understand these concepts. And there are a group who are not. And when one Kohen says to another, thank you very much, but I'm not going to buy your kelim, All right, so the rejected Amma Arts will go to his friend, Amma Arts Cohen, and say, look, I don't know what his issue is, but you want to borrow from me? Sure. Less of a concern, I don't fully understand this, but fine. Less of a concern of Ava when it comes to the grouping of Kohanim. But when it's Kodesh, and Kodesh is equal, level playing field. Beis HaMikdash, Yontif, Aliyah L'Regel, everyone's going to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody's eating Kodesh. If we now put ourselves in a position where, no, thank you, you're an Amma Arts, I can't borrow your Kalim, so then it's going to create, that's intuitive. That's going to create animosity, that'll create Ava, and so therefore the Chachamim said, so by Kodesh, the Chachamim imposed these Gezeras so that there would not be Ava. Good. So really, a fantastic punchline to a question which is long due, and that is, why are these Chumras by Kodesh and not by Truma? The Gemara says to level the playing field and to create more unity amongst the Jewish people. The Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara points out this position is authored by Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is a big proponent of this concern. Wine and oil, everyone has neamonis. Meaning that even in Amaretz, the Amaretz says this wine tahor, the oil tahor. According to Rabbi Yossi, good, you can take it. And why? Because if you don't take it, so the Amma Arts says, you're really going to reject my wine, you're going to reject my oil. And by the way, wine and oil, why these two food items? Answer, Beis HaMikdash, Nesachim, Mincha, meaning these are the liquids that are earmarked for the Beis HaMikdash. And if we don't, and the Amma Arts comes over with the wine and says, I want to offer this as a carbon. We look at the Amma Arts and says, no. So what is he going to do? You Beis HaMikdash, are going to reject my oil? You're going to reject my wine? Okay, no problem at all. I'm opening up my own show. Okay. Again, it happened once or twice in Jewish history. So Rav Yos is a big proponent of this. And by the way, it's funny that you asked that. So if you like to take a look at the second to last Tosis on this Amud, so the second to last Tosis on the Amud points out that we accept Rav Yossi's position, and we accept it not only in this halacha, but the Tosis quotes the Gemara in Brachos, seventh parak of Brachos, where the Gemara over there says that you can't make a Zimun with an Amma Arts. Okay, you're eating bread, and I have an Amma Arts eating together with you, and let's say there are three of you all together, so the Gemara in Brachos says that you can't make a Zimun together with the Amma Arts.
Cannot,
says the Gemara in Brachos. So there's a position over there in the Gemara that says, I'm sorry, Toso says, because we rely on this Rav Yossi position, no, just the opposite. We do make a Zimun together with an Amma Arts, and there are other applications as well of this halacha. In fact, back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, Kamanim Mekablina, Idna, Sadusim, Amma Arts. Gemara says, we accept testimony from an Amma Arts. Based on what position? Come on, Rabbi Yossi. So it's based on the position of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, because Rabbi Yossi is of this opinion of Ava, of the creation of animosity. We don't want to create animosity, and so therefore we are inclusive of the Amei Haaretz, and so therefore we see it in respect to extra stringencies imposed by Kodesh. We see it in terms of Nemanus for wine and oil. We saw it in Tosfos regarding benching together, and now we see it in the Gemara, back in the Gemara with Rav Papa, and that you're allowed to accept testimony from an Amma Arts. Again, from a Tumah Tahara standpoint, from a Kasher standpoint, right, now, Eidecha Ne'eman B'Yisurin, so, okay, this segregation of Chaver Ma'ama Aretz, it exists less today than it did in the time of the Gemara. In fact, same Tosfos, you can take a look at the end of the Tosfos, he writes, Ve'ein anu machzikin atzmeni ketamid chacham le'inyan zeh. Tosfos says nowadays, Tosfos writes, 12th, 13th century. He says, nowadays, we don't put ourselves in a position of, oh, we're Talmidei Chachamim. In other words, we do much less of this classification. Back to the Gemara, we are now finishing up today's daf. I know we're still on the bottom of Amud Aleph, but basically, we are now approaching the end, and that is one more question that we're going to be dealing with today. And that is, So the Gemara says, why aren't we concerned about She'ela? Meaning, fine. We now have built an entire discussion around the explanation of our Mishnah of not tovel and kli b'soch kli. The reason why you're not allowed to tovel kli b'soch kli is for kodesh is just again to standardize and to level the playing field so that everyone can borrow a kli from somebody else when it comes to kodesh. When it comes to truma, so we do have the right to say to somebody, look, your kli by truma, I'm not going to use your kli. I'll use my own kli. And again, the chaver is going to be more sensitive to the issues of chatzitza and shofar sanot. Gemara asks a very simple question. No one ever borrows kelim from one another? So the Gemara says, did not. And now we're going to see a Mishnah. Mishnah over here is a Mishnah in kelim. The Mishnah, and we're going to follow up with a Braisa. So the Mishnah and the Braisa are going to take us almost halfway down in that summer. Let's just quickly run through this Mishnah. Kli cheres matzel al kol divrei beis halal. A kli cheres saves everything. And if it's out of context, it's a, what a strange statement. It saves everything. But what it means is as follows. We know that a kli cheres, when sealed, is impervious to tumah. So therefore, that means that if there's tumah outside, even if it's an ava tumah, if the kli cheres is sealed, all the contents inside are protected. It's a hermetical seal against tumah. Furthermore, we can even make this point. We can even go one step further with this point of kli cheres. Let's say I have an opening in the ceiling, and the opening in the ceiling is plugged by a kli cheres, which is not tumah, which is tahor. So, if let's say there's a mace directly under the kli cheres, what does the kli cheres do? Stops the tumah from going up any higher. Okay, so a kli cheres is a barrier. It both protects the contents within, plus it also serves as a barrier to stop tumah from going any higher. The basic properties of kli cheres of earthenware. Divrei Beis Hillel, that's Beis Hillel's position. Beis Shammai Amrim, Eina Matzel Al Ochlam Al Mashkin, V'Al Kli Cheres. Nah, it only saves food and liquids and Kli Cheres, but nothing else. Meaning Beis Shammai basically says, no, Kli Cheres is not going to protect. So Amrim and Beis Hillel also, first of all, why these three items, food, liquids, and Kli Cheres? The answer is very simple. Because these items are unsolvable. Meaning if food or liquid or kli cheres becomes tameh, nothing could do about it. So Beis Shammai says, for those, I'll say kli cheres protects, but not for anything else. So Amalem Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel's argument now, Amalem the Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Mimnei Ma'amra Beis Shammai, Mimnei Shu Tameh, Agav Amaretz. So they say to Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai, your position, what a difficult position, what are you talking about? So Beis Shammai says, well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. The Kli Cheres was, at one point in time, handled by an Amaretz. Kli Cheres is Tameh. Once the Kli Cheres is Tameh, all bets are off. Kli Cheres no longer protects. So the Ein Kli Tameh Chotzeitz. Kli Tameh does not serve as a barrier. So Amalem Beis Hillel, V'alo Tiartem Ochlem Amashkin Shebetocho. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, okay, but then you're obvious inconsistency. So then how can it protect for food and liquid and another kli cheres? Amalem Beis Shammai, kishitiharno ochlem amashkin shebetocho la'atzmo tiharno. So we said the food and the liquid inside of tahor, you know, we were talking about the amaharitz, we're not talking about for us. Aval nitar ta kli shitiharno l'chav lo, but the kli itself, the kli is going to be borrowed. That's the key line. Right, that last line. The kli is going to be borrowed. So you see that a kli can be borrowed. Tanya, let's just quickly run through this braisa. The braisa over here is basically a repeat of what we just saw in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yoshua Boshim B'Devrechem Beit Shammai. Esha Isha Losha Bareva Isha Bareva Tamem Shiva Ubatzek Tahor. Rav Yoshua says, I'm embarrassed by Beit Shammai's position. How can the woman be Tameah? How can the bowl be Tameah? And meanwhile, the food inside is fine? I don't understand that. So, or another example. Lugin male mashkin lugin tame tuma shiva or mashkin tahorin, or the kli is tame and meanwhile the liquid inside is tahor. Nitapalo tamecha mitami mitami de Beis Shammai. So a student of Beis Shammai says, you know, let me try to explain this. Amalo amalo time shall Beis Shammai amalo and more. Let's hear. Amalo kli tame chotzeis or inechotzeis. Well, let's say the kli is tame. Does it or does it not serve as a chotzeis? Amalo inechotzeis. Well, of course, the answer is it doesn't serve as a chitzitza. Kli shel amaretz, tamei or tahor? Well, if the kli is coming out of the hand of an amaretz, tamei or tahor? Amar lo tamei. So the imatah amar lo tamei klo mashkiach alecha. Now, if you tell the amaretz, hey, everything here is tamei, he's not going to listen to you. V'lo odol shimatah amar lo tamei amar lecha shalita v'shalcha tamei. And you point your finger at the Amaretz and say, hey, your food is tummy. He'll look at you and say, your food is tummy. So v'zehu taman shel Beit Shammai. And now you understand Beit Shammai? Meaning the kli is tamei. And the food being tahor, that was a psak for the Amei Haaretz, not for you and me. Miyad alach Rav Yishuv, v'nishatech al kivrei Beit Shammai. Rav Yishuv runs to the cemetery of Beit Shammai. Amar ne'neithi lachem atzamos Beit Shammai. He says that the language that he used in the beginning, boshi, I'm embarrassed of Beit Shammai's position, now he's the one suffering from the embarrassment. Omas esuma shalachem kach mufarash alach hakam v'kama. I don't understand the things which were hidden, and now these things... He felt terrible. Amar kol yamav u'shkarush shinavim neitani yosav. Rav Yeshua fasted again and again. His teeth got black from fasting so much. Okay, a powerful story. Obviously, the point of the Mishnah and the Braisa was what? We borrow their kalim. So the question is, if we borrow their kalim, so back to square one. So then why by truma do we say, oh, for truma, we're going to be careful. And they're not going to be careful. Well, if they're not going to be careful... So aren't we worried about She'ela? Stay tuned tomorrow. We will answer that question.